And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured hundredweight and penny pound. When the man comes around.
His name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.
WCR, right here out of Nashville, Tennessee. We're glad to have you in here tonight. We're sponsored by, as always, sole sponsor, Dr. Gary. His number is 877-289-7439. Am I how we feel in our heart that we got a great program for you to identify the lost tribes of Israel scattered among the nations. Now, we know by tradition, and we're going to buck against the ways of tradition tonight. We're going against the grain of your understanding. It might rub you wrong a few times. Now, for tonight, we're going to teach you that the lost tribes of Israel is not that nation in 1948 formed out of all of the nations by mandate from Great Britain by the House of Rothschild, who claims to be a Jew. Now, let me show you something here tonight and show you where we got this infusion of those that say they are Jews and are not. Now, the word Jew is not mentioned until we get into the Bible. We're going to get in this area tonight. And by the time we determine who the Jews are, we're going to see some imposters that have entered in, stole the identity of Israel. Now, Judah is not Israel to begin with. The two houses are split, as we're going to find out, and we're going to give you the scriptures to indicate that they were, and how and why they were split. And one of the things that discouraged our Creator, who formed the house of Israel into one house. Now, this one house had in it 12 sons to share in the covenant inheritance, a promise to a small group of people. And we're going to tell you who they are, how they got among the Gentiles. Is the truth of Yahweh's word, is it promised to the Gentiles for salvation? Is salvation given to the Gentiles? When Paul said, "Lo, since you, the Jews, have rejected Yahweh, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." So we've got accustomed to the word Gentile, using it in the same breath as we would describe a people that's lost, who are called Gentile. That never is the reason for the search. It should be your criteria for finding a people lost. And they've been written about for many centuries. They've left a history. They've left a trail that we'd like to explain to you tonight, that Israel is a scattered people in the earth. Now, we know particularly at the end of the flight where Yahweh scattered Israel. We're going to tell you the area of the earth that he scattered them into and the mountains that he brought them across. We're going to examine their trek, and we're going to try to identify them as a people separate from Gentiles. One of the problems here is that we have lumped Israel, the 10 tribes scattered abroad, as we study 1 Kings, beginning at chapter 11, and we're going to read that Solomon loved many strange women. Now, this is the second time that Yahweh has come to Solomon. He had wisdom, he had knowledge, but many of these strange women turned Solomon's heart from the understanding which he was to get from heaven and to lead the house of Israel, both of the houses, the house of Judah and the house of Israel at that time, were one house. There was no split. Now, the split came about after that Solomon loved many strange women. He wouldn't repent, for Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Maacom, the abomination of the Amorites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of Yahweh and did not fully serve Yahweh as did his father David. And when he began to build high places for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, he erected these temples for the children to worship. And likewise, in verse 8 it says, did he for all his strange wives, which he burnt incense and sacrificed. Listen to this now, folks. Here is a one that had his heart lifted up through his knowledge, and his downfall came about by loving many strange women. Therefore, Yahweh was angry because his heart was turned. And Yahweh appeared unto him in the ninth verse. He appeared twice to warn him and commanded him twice that he should not go after these other gods. But he did not listen to what Yahweh commanded. Now, you know tonight that you can get in trouble if you go against Yahweh's commandments. His commandments are not grievous. They're easy to be entreated. Like today, for instance. Today was the Sabbath day. Happened to fall on Sunday, S-U-N. And for that reason, Yahweh gave Solomon up to worship the host of heaven, as he did many of the Israelites before him for the very same sin, and after being warned twice. Now, Yahweh did not bring immediate judgment upon Solomon. Now, for what reason did he bring, or when did he bring it? The judgment that did fall, well, it starts in the 11th chapter of 1 Kings. And it begins to have a narrative about it that we could study for just a moment briefly as I hurry through this tonight. It's a long, drawn-out message of revelation that you need to know how, why, and when, and where that the lost 10 tribes took their trek across the Caucasus Mountains, and they became known as Caucasians. So, we understand by this fact that the house of Israel was white. Caucasian. If you put down on your work resume your qualifications, and then they ask you for your race, and you reply as a Caucasian, they automatically know that you are a blushing white man, and so they would call you Caucasian. Now, if you were black, or if you were Asiatic, and so on and so forth, you would put down your race. And so then what we want to make clear to you is just being scattered among the Gentiles doesn't necessarily mean in truth that you are a Gentile. Now, we're going to refresh your memory. Most of you are well aware of the message that you've heard many times, probably, perhaps, maybe even from myself, as I have gone over this repeatedly to bring you abreast, to identify and bring you into the reckoning of how you got where you are at, and how your fathers got here, what country that you eventually wound up in, on your long trek as a member of the 10 tribes. Now, in 1 Kings 11, 28 through 37, I'm going to read a couple of verses here. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. He was an Ephraimite. And Solomon, seeing the young man, that he was very industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. Now, the house of Joseph is what we know now as the house of Ephraim. Jeroboam was the leader of Ephraim. The house of Joseph became the house of Ephraim. Now then, and this is a strange event as he relates it, and it came to pass at the time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, and the prophet Ahijah, the Shunite, found him in the way, and it came to pass that he had a new garment on. And we're fixing to give the house of Israel a new garment. They're going to be branded as Gentiles, which is not correct. You cannot make a Gentile out of a Caucasian. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, you're not talking about Jews. There's only two classes of people in the world. That's what we have been told. That's what we have been made to believe, but it's not true. A Judite is not a Jew. He's a Hebrew. Abraham was a Hebrew. Even the Messiah himself, who was taken to be a Jew out of misinformation and misunderstanding of the scriptures, not knowing behind, that's why we bring you up to history, to try to give you an understanding that you may know that the garment that Jeroboam had upon him, it was a new garment, and he stripped him of his garment, and he rent it into 12 pieces. Isn't this strange? And he said to Jeroboam, take 10 of these pieces, for thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and then I will give him 10 tribes. Now, isn't that strange? But he shall have, we're talking about Solomon, I will leave for David my servant's sake. I ain't going to strip him completely. I promised David I wouldn't do that. But I'm going to hasten this up. I'm going to split the kingdom, and I'm going to rend it out of Solomon's hand, but for David's sake and the oath that I swore unto him, I will leave him but one tribe, because they have forsaken me and have worshipped Astoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Malcolm, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my way to do all that which is right in my eyes by keeping my commandments as did their father David. However, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand for the oath's sake. I will make him prince all the days of his life before David, my own servant's sake. Remember now, Solomon wouldn't obey. Now, think about this man that had all this glory, treasure, and loved these strange women, became an idolater, reared up high places where Yahweh should be worshipped, and Yahweh's place, they worshipped Ashtoreth, Chemosh, the Edomites, the Moabites, and the Amorites, and the Zidonians were invited into these temples because these many strange women changed the worship habits of Solomon. Beware yourself if you get caught up in a false church. Now, the Bible and the commandment to you, many times spoken, you've heard this many times, come out of her, my people. Well, when you jump out of the frying pan and just get back into the fire, you haven't advanced in knowledge. You're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. You need to learn the difference between Jew and Gentile and the Caucasian race. Is there a difference? Well, at this time, we know that the white Israelites that came across the Caucasus Mountains became noted and famous abroad, where Yahweh scattered them to become what he described as the lost sheep of Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. And 10 and 6, he commanded those who knew about these folks. This is where the days came when the Messiah came in a flesh body and gave the apostles the understanding of how to make disciples, what to tell them, what to do. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in this magnanimous, magnificent, glorious name above every name, the name of Yahweh. Now, I talked about that last night on 5890, but to the point that I talked about the idolatry that even the house of Israel, those lost sheep, have lost their identity, thinking that they're a dumb Gentile, and in that classification, and they're not God's chosen people, which in reality, these lost sheep, I remember the five wise and five foolish. Now, these five foolish were actually highlighting the acts of the tribes that scattered, double that to ten in this case. And you have one tribe now made two tribes for the house of, we're talking about the house of the 11 tribes that were left, that even the abundance, or the abominations, if you will, of rending the kingdom out, we know that the 10 tribes were known as Northern Kingdom, Judah and Benjamin. Now, how did Benjamin, for the life of me, get over and become one with Judah, which we have the 10 scattered abroad and the 12 peace garment? Now we give an account. Judah and Benjamin wrapped in one garment, and the other 10 wrapped in the garment of the 10 lost sheep, or the lost house of Israel, and the two are promised one day in the prophecy that the 12 tribes were divided between Jeroboam and Solomon's son Rehoboam. Now we're going to read this in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 16 and 17. Now, to know that 1 Kings repeatedly declares that one tribe will continue with Solomon, but this single tribe actually became two with the house of Benjamin, being miscegenated into the house of Judah. Now it's Judah that came to the assistance of the whorish and sinful Benjamites as they repeatedly broke the covenants, went a whoring, and have become what is known as Sodomites. A large portion of these became so evil that the house of Israel actually went up and warred against them, almost with a lack of 300 men that was hid in a cave. And this is all it saved the seed of Benjamin. And we've got Judah in the 38th chapter. They played the harlot. Here Judah went down and married into a Canaanite family. Heavens forbid that all this came down on these two houses that caused the separation. Israel refused to walk with them. They refused to be in covenant with them. They actually wound up many times. It's repeated through 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, that there was a continuous war between these two houses, the house of Judah and Benjamin, and the house of Israel, the 10 tribes led by the house of Ephraim. Now, Yahweh held Ephraim from this point here where we're reading about of the 10 garments that he chose to separate the two houses. And after a certain time, as I cut to the chase here and speed this message up for your behalf, you would like to have it. It's posted on our website that the two became one. Ephraim and Judah became the two houses of Israel. Have you ever thought about the two houses? You say, yeah, but, you know, Pastor Buddy, God reunited them. He made them a country over there in 1948, and the Jews returned. See, it's strange that we never mention the lost house of Israel. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 7 and 10 that they would never return. He would remove them, never to return them. And the 12 tribes were all dispersed over time, and today the dispersion still continues even today, that the house of Israel, the lost sheep, known as the lost sheep, who became known as Gentiles. So the Bible clearly shows that ancient Israel and their fall was necessary in order to scatter the sheep throughout the earth and hide them, and they became known as the lost sheep, like I say, in Matthew chapter 10, go not to the Gentiles. Now, let's examine that. See how much wisdom the Scriptures will give you. Go not. So there was not a command by the Messiah himself to tell the apostles, which is recorded in James chapter 1, that to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Now, we are dealing with not 10 tribes, but we actually have, through the book of Jeremiah, we find out that there was a basket of good figs and a basket of bad figs, and now the fig is representing the Jew. Now, the bad figs are the ones that return to stay in the region. The good figs followed the trek, if you will, of their brothers who were scattered in 721 B.C., Now, if we find the prophecy fulfilled that America became a nation after seven times this law that was fulfilled according to Christ in Matthew 5:17, that not one jot or one tittle until everything would be accomplished in the dispersion and then the regathering or the hunting for. Go and witness this to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Not over in Israel, the present day, and that's a misnomer. They named it Israel because at one time the house of Israel congregated in this area. They were removed in 7121 B.C. In 586, the other house was politely removed. It broke up into two different phases, some good and some bad. Now, we go back and pick up the narrative here in the house of Genesis. We're talking about the house of Judah, to wonder where that the good fig, Judah, he was a son of Jacob. He was a fourth son from his father's strength. He was not appointed to be the head honcho. But the Bible says in Chronicles that he ruled by force. After Joseph was extracted or expelled by the jealousy of the brothers, Judah became the ruling patriarch of the clan by sheer force. Now, the full restoration of the kingdom that we have to know when that will be, because the Bible says that all Israel shall be saved. Now, the whole 12 tribes of the house of Israel, which is appointed from Yahweh's perspective, not one will perish. All will come to repentance, and Yahweh's not willing that any should suffer, but all of us would come to repentance. Now, we know that it's a slow process. Therefore, time and the wheels of judgment, we know that Solomon himself was not immediately reprimanded for breaking Yahweh's word when he disavowed him and broke the two direct commandments by Yahweh personally speaking to him and telling him to depart or separate himself from the strange women. Now, it's amazing that we have a genealogy that reports that our bloodline, Messiah, through the seed of David, who is chosen to sit on the throne forever, and he would be the offspring of David. The problem here is, he said he would also be what we would call the beginning of the house of David. In other words, the head bloodline would come directly through the Messiah. That Yahweh himself would see to it that the bloodline was accredited to his blood. Therefore, the house of Joseph, he's a type of Christ, and it's all wonderfully encoded in the Bible in a mystery. Now, there's no recorded history that shows that the tribes of Israel were ever reunited, although we've been told in 1948 it happened, and that the dispersion that happened years ago that I'm in teaching about tonight has now decided to return to their homeland in the personage of Israel, or the Jews, God's chosen people. Now, this is not true. It is not true. This has not happened, that the house of Israel, the 10 tribes dispersed, that the time of reuniting has come about. Why? Because there is no history, because at this time, we know that the Antichrist will come into the world, and he will raise up in opposition against this covenant that Yahweh has formed with his people before they were ever dispersed. And those who are still in a looking for a future restoration are waiting on these days, and they're faithfully observing the Sabbath. Now, why did Israel get in trouble? We read in the book of Leviticus that they got in trouble because they broke Yahweh's Sabbath. They would not let the land rest when it was scripturally told to do so. And for that reason, Yahweh removed them from his land and let the land rest 7 times. So then we're still paying for our disobedient fathers. The third and fourth generations of offspring are still paying for our disobedience. We've been lied to. We've been had. The Bible said that the deception will be so bad that Satan would deceive the very elect if it was possible. Now, take heed that you be not deceived. That's one of the signs of Matthew chapter 24. And in this day and age, we have been deceived by the house of Rothschild, who was descended from the Edomites, who Solomon fathered. Now, these people have a bloodline of a very famous father. We're talking about Solomon loved many strange women. From this issue of women, the house of the Pharaohs, the women of the Moabites, they alone themselves prove what they are, the Ammonites, the Edomites, there they are. There is a blood of Solomon, a direct result of the love between David and Bathsheba. Now, this was fine because Yahweh blessed him and gave him wisdom and knowledge and the power and the covenant and the right to rule over the whole house. He did evil. He mixed his blood with Edomite women. Now, don't you know, they went out and they formed the royal bloodline of the Edomites, known today as the House of Rothschild. And they are excellent financial wizards. The wealth is, they attract wealth. And they do these things are evil and displeasing to Yahweh. And these wives, which eventually turned away Solomon's heart, even Solomon himself, fell from his steadfastness. And Yahweh rended the kingdom out of Solomon's hand. Have you ever wondered what happened to Solomon after he died by loving many strange women? Now, this word strange is meaning a bloodline that's not acceptable for a son of Jacob to mate with. You shall not mix your seed with their seed. You will not give your sons to their daughters and vice versa. But here we find Solomon in complete disobedience and idolatry. Now, folks, don't make a mistake here. Like Solomon, he forgot the scripture where he read that Yahweh is a jealous Yahweh, as is recorded in Exodus 20 and verse 5. In Deuteronomy 32:16, it says he's a jealous God. In 2 Corinthians, be not deceived. He said, God is not mocked. He's a jealous God. Don't you think that Yahweh would still punish you if you were doing the sins of Solomon? That is, race mixing, or going and taking these strange wives and burning incense, in other words, in your worship and your adoration, you would build a worship center for these wives who were wholly given to the Satan. They're given up to a reprobated mind to worship a creature. Here is Solomon and all of his wisdom and glory. He's now been persuaded by the strange wives to produce a seed that would be known as the Edomites. We find Solomon being their father. Now, do you think that Christ, the one we call Christ, which we call Messiah, Yahweh in the flesh body, do you believe that he would literally come through the genealogy of Solomon? Do you actually believe that Yahweh would descend from the blood of the children of Ammon and Chemosh and the abomination of Moab and the abominations of the Ashtoreth and the Zidonians and the Edomites? Do you think for one moment that Yahweh would have any blood transfusion from any of these races coming through Solomon? If so be that he came through and Christ descended from the house of Judah, which we know is a bad seed, we know up front why that they were good figs and bad. It's a mystery, folks. You've got to learn. You've got to study the scriptures. You've got to pray that you don't make any mistakes. He's going to hold you responsible. And if you read in the book of Matthew, chapter 2, the genealogy that describes Christ descending from Solomon, ignore that. That is not true. That was put there by the pen of the lying scribes to get you to believe that our Messiah was bloodline descended through a corrupt bloodline. When actuality, in the third chapter of the book of Luke, we find out that there's a discrepancy here, a difference of genealogies, that Nathan, that's David's other son, who's not much written about, let alone the descended bloodline. Here the Pharisees made sure that they got their father, you know, what Christ said about the Jews, your father's a devil. Your father is the devil, for he was a murderer. Now, that's a descendant of Cain. That's a descendant of Esau. For these are evil seeds that Yahweh would never permit to come into the bloodline that he would descend through. You see the battle here, folks? You see why Yahweh took the devil in his own craftiness? You see why that Yahweh would not succumb to becoming from the house of Solomon? Let alone, folks, of coming through a polluted bloodline like Solomon, leave all these seeds. Now, one of the things that King did was to disperse his seed liberally. The kings and the folks round about the countries, they wanted to make leagues and pacts and have their daughters given unto him, like the Pharaoh. He gave one of his most beautiful daughters to Solomon. Solomon should refuse. But for the sake of making a league with Egypt and keeping peace with them, he didn't want to offend the Pharaoh. So he accepted her daughter, and he had her seed descended from her. Now, think about the seed of Solomon, which would have certainly been of good stock in genetics. He was a wise man, and you can't deny that. But sometimes being smart and wise don't really get the job done. Yahweh chose the foolish thing. Solomon was too above descending back down to keeping his seed pure as did his father David. So therefore he sinned and Yahweh gave him up to a reprobated mind. He never forgot that, although he remembered his covenant. And because David could not say that Yahweh was unfair, he let the prince, Solomon, sit on his throne until it was rended out of his hand, and he only received the house of Judah and the house of Benjamin to keep for his own. The house of Ephraim and the 10 other tribes, they went into, if you will, they went into the Isles. They trekked across the Caucasus Mountains, become known as Caucasians. That's why that we brand them as white people. Now, if you go to Israel today, you'll see that not everything over there is white. They have Mideastern descent. They're from an Arab Khazaric bloodline. We've been over that. How that the Khazars fooled everybody, and everybody began to think, well, that's God's people because they're Jews. They keep the Jewish law. Just because you keep the Jewish law doesn't exclude you or include you, for that matter, to be an Israelite. Here we've got people claiming that Jews are not Israel, or not Israelites. They're Judites. And that is not true. We know from the study of the scriptures and the history that we're teaching here tonight that the lost house of Israel, the 10 northern tribes crossing the Caucasus Mountains, became known as Caucasian, and here we are ashamed of our heritage. We're lost. We give other races of other people the distinctive honor of being God's chosen people, when in fact they're nothing but liars. The Bible says so. They wouldn't walk in his statutes. They wouldn't keep his ordinances. Because if a man will walk in his statutes, and we have those who believe that the Khazaric Jews over there now descended from Khazars, don't have any Caucasian blood in them, or very little, if any, as they've miscegenated, probably, into some of the bloodlines of the Caucasians. But, folks, we're looking for a people that is not a people. We're looking for a people that went to a country that didn't go to a country. We're looking for a people that established a nation that is not a nation. My people, which are called by my name. Now, it's noted that the history that came with these Caucasians, even today, there is insignias, there is banners, there's a rich history, rich in the Israelites as they used to be. White Caucasians departed long from the land of Israel at that time in 721 B.C., and they became lost and known as Gentiles. Here we have, well, God's coming to save the Gentiles. That's why he's saving all the Gentiles. There's not one reference, truly, if it's truly translated correctly, that gives any salvation to a Gentile. Salvation is only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It was stated emphatically by the Messiah, confirmed in many scriptures. And therefore, in Ezekiel, he said, I will cast them far off among the heathen. The heathen is a Gentile. Israel is not a heathen. But they love to worship the heathen gods. They love to do the heathen traditional practices. Therefore, God gave them up to a reprobated mind. Notice this. Therefore saith Yahweh, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, that's the Caucasian Israelites, and although I have scattered them among the countries, that's among the nations of the world, in the European countries, or up as Denmark, the house of Dan, yet I will be to them as a little sanctuary, a remnant will be retained, because he said, I will always have a remnant of this house before me to bear my name, and therefore I will set a little sanctuary. That's a little group of people that's always known about this. What I'm teaching tonight to bring you into your identity, that you might have a one heart or a new heart, and let Yahweh put a new spirit of identity within you. He said, I will take out the stony heart out of their flesh, and I'll give them a heart to understand and know who I am, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Yahweh. Did you know there's a great move in the land, folks? Did you know that the name of Yahweh is the fastest growing name among the Christians? That they're calling on a new name, a name that they never called on, a name they never heard or never knew. And today the radio hours are saturated with brethren and sisters that are valiantly calling out the name of Yahweh as a sanctuary among the heathen. Therefore, in Ezekiel 11, saith Yahweh, although I've cast you far off among them and scattered you among the countries, I will regather you into your own land. In 1776, which is exactly seven times or 2,500 years from the time the prophecy went out, that he would punish them until a new country was given to them. And he said, as long as you keep my statutes and as long as you keep my commandments, and we were built upon these commandments, we were built upon the festivals, and we celebrate them faithfully until we begin to let those who have ruined every country that they came into, they destroyed them. That's the Edomite socialist of the house of Esau. Very smart and crafty, knowing how to finance. Did you know that the International House of Bankers, run by the Rothschild family and their cronies, in every nation under heaven now, that they control the money flow, they finance wars, they do these things which are abomination and detestable unto Yahweh. Very few, only a remnant, now is now catching on the new covenant. He said, behold, the days come that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, proving there are still two houses. But it's the same covenant, and when we, the remnant, convince the great majority of these dumb Israelites, lost sheep, scattered among the heathen, called Gentiles, until we retain the knowledge. He said, I will raise up out of Zion. Has nothing to do with the word Zionism either. I will raise up a people and will turn my people from their sin. Their sin is they don't know who they are. They don't know Yahweh. I'll give them a heart of flesh and they will return. That's happening even as Pastor Buddy speaks. I preach this without fear or intimidation. I don't preach it with reservations of holding back. I don't pet you, as you very well know, those that you listen to my message. I don't pet you. I don't compromise with you. I don't put up with a strange God or a strange name that was not known to Yahweh. Search the scriptures. 7,000 times approximately in the Old Testament, 1,000 times in the New, his name was called Yahweh, which has forever been lost up until the time of the end, when Yahweh said, I will make mine known and declare it throughout the whole earth. In the 7th and 8th chapter and the 9th chapter of the book of Romans, you'll find that Paul expounded that the name Yahweh would be declared by the command of Yahweh throughout the whole earth. And I have told you how that Yahweh would give you his name into your being and that you would breathe in and out saying, it's an amazing event that everything that has breath, whether they know it or not, they praise Yahweh from the rising of the sun till they come conscious of their breath until they go to sleep at night. They breathe, eat, and sleep his name constantly in these earthen temples. Therefore fulfilling the word that Yahweh said, I will make my known name known, exalted, throughout the whole earth. Yahweh is a truth that is forever. Yahweh is forever. His truth is forever settled. Nothing, I'm telling you, folks, nothing will be added to it. You can't overcome the truth. That's why I preach it without fear or intimidation. That's why that I take on anybody in the land that will deny the name of Yahweh. I take no prisoners in this. I do not make no excuses for anybody that's ignorant, because the time has come that Yahweh would wink at ignorance. Here, just do this. If you would like to know how to sound the name of Yahweh in your body, simply breathe deep. Breathe hard, and you'll hear your own body, designed by the Creator, fearfully and wonderfully made. Even though you've wandered out from Him, although you have forgotten Him, and although you don't know Him, Yahweh will exalt Himself in you, because Yahweh cannot be denied. Therefore, your own breath will prove you if you call on another name. Let's say that you're using Jesus to call upon, and a lot of you do. Now, we know that in the New Testament, I examined this last time under the masquerading mask of Talmud, that this came about by deception. The translators, they knew what the name Yahweh was. But because it was to the Hebrew people, and the covenant to the Hebrew people, it was a racial covenant that excluded everything except Yahweh's people. Now, did you know the Bible said that Yahweh knows them that are His? Did you know in Ezekiel 37 that the house of Ephraim and the house of Judah, that basket of good figs, not the basket of bad, we've got to separate them. That's what Yahweh's coming to do anyway. He's coming to separate the wheat from the tares. If you don't know what a tare is, it's something that hadn't been chosen by Yahweh. You say, well, God loves everybody, Pastor Buddy. Well, it's evidently not true, because He didn't love Esau. He hated him. Now, if Yahweh hates you and He's against you, who can be for you? If Yahweh's for you, although you're hated and despised, who can be against you? In the end, Yahweh's children are going to overcome, for everyone that came down out of heaven is going back with Him. You can remember that. Don't you have a memory of a life that you spent with Him? He said, you'll know because you've been with Me from the very beginning. Yahweh knew that you would, this word would, it would resonate in your heart. Those of Yahweh, or those of My sheep, will hear My voice. Now, breathe. You'll hear your own body exclaiming the truth of His name on how to sound it. You're not ignorant. And tell me, when you breathe in, tell me what you hear. What is the sound that's going through your earthen body? What's coming out of your lips in an audible form? Your name is being spoken irregardless of whether you acknowledge Him or not. Every time you praise Yahweh with hallelujah, not hallelujah or hallelujah, you're exclaiming in exclamation examples of the name above every name. And this people who is lost is about to come to the book of Ezekiel chapter 20. I will bring you into the wilderness, USA, Great Britain, the British Isles, Australia, Denmark, the Scandinavian country, and I will plead with you there face to face. I will send fishers and hunters, and I'll cause you to pass under the law, the rod, and I'll bring you kicking and screaming. Though you didn't know Me, I've never forgotten you. At the appointed time, I will begin a movement that will move into the earth. and I will rejoin the house of Israel to the house of Judah. They will be one house, and they will rule the world. They will have preeminence. They will have the right of way in the passage into the new kingdom. Now, speaking of the kingdom which is within you, I want you to focus tonight on that kingdom within. Give yourself some time in contemplation and meditation of thinking about the great power of the light and sound that is within you, contained truly in you by the gift of Yahweh. It's nothing good you've done. You're created in His image. I was born to be the child of the King. I was born to serve Him. I was born to overcome. I was born to inherit. I was born to sit with Him in heavenly places. And it's getting nigh, ladies and gentlemen, for that time to come. Now, my time is almost coming on. Let me give you my telephone number. I couldn't remember it last time. Maybe I can tonight. My number, if you'd like to call me tonight, write this down. Keep it in your files. This is Pastor Buddy, 423-351-1082. Now, it's Pastor Buddy, 423-351-1082. Now, my cell phone, if you'd like to call me tomorrow during the day, you could probably reach me on my cell anywhere I'm at where the cell is available. 423. Write it down. Keep it on file. 423-333-0392. You're welcome to call me. Now, my mailing address that I'll give you, and then I'll give you Dr. Gary's telephone number one more time, my sponsor tonight. That's Post Office Box 568. If you'd like to write me, just address your letter to Pastor Buddy. That's Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. And that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, and the zip code is 37874. Again, Dr. Gary's telephone number. Dr. Gary is a longtime member of the House of Yahweh. In His name, declaring His name, preaching His name, revelating His name. And if you'd like some more information, you'd like to call my sponsor and thank him for sponsoring Pastor Buddy, I would be very pleased if you would do so. Again, that's 877-289-7439. Now remember, that's toll free. That'll come into his office and leave your callback number. Tell him you're a radio listener. You'd like to leave your number, and at Dr. Gary's convenience, he'll return your call. Again, 877-289-7439. Now, quickly, let me give you our website. That's oneyahweh.com. Oneyahweh.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's our webpage. And if you'd like to go there, all the information that I've given you, including the article that I've revealed to you tonight, in part, I didn't have time to go into all of it, of the lost tribes of Israel scattered among the nations, and we're not Gentiles. We are Israelites. I'll see you next Saturday night, 5890 WWCR. Look for me. I'll be back next Sunday night at the same time. May Yahweh bless you.